very soon after that, my family moved to West Virginia. My father's in coal mining, and we went there because of his business. And then later on, I was educated in the elementary and secondary schools in Alderson, West Virginia, which is in
Alderson.
Alderson, which is
A-L-D-E-R-S-O-N.
And that's in the more agriculturally oriented part of West Virginia. And there I came in contact with a home demonstration agent who had, was an Iowa State graduate, and really inspired me to become a home economist. Now, I'd hoped at that time to go to Iowa State, but it was during the Depression, so I went to Marshall College, which is now Marshall University in Huntington. And there was very fortunate to have as a mentor a professor of nutrition who was instrumental in getting me, or helping me to get a scholarship to come to university, teacher's college.
To Columbia?
Yes. And so immediately after my graduation in home economics, and I did plan, I think, you know, fairly well to have a degree in nutrition because I took all the chemistry and the background courses, and as a result, I did have to go to summer school. But anyway, I went on to Columbia and got my master's in food nutrition with some of the greats in that field. Mary Schwartz Rose and Dr. Sherman were there at that time. Then, following that, I taught at Stevens College for 3 years.
Oh, you taught at Stevens in Missouri?
In Missouri.
When were you teaching there?
That was between 39 and 42.
You were teaching there almost at the same time that I was doing graduate work at the University of Missouri.
Oh, really?
I was at Stevens to see some of the girls.
Well, I was just about the age of some of those boys that were at Stevens at the university.
I don't know if we ever had you over at the Gamma Alpha House for a party or not.
Well, I don't remember that, but I remember doing some research with our students at the dairy department there.
So you taught at Stevens?
Yeah. Then I came back to West Virginia in 42 as a food preservation worker in the summer. That was a new program that was being one of federal programs during the Depression. And there was no room for nutrition specialists, so I became a specialist there and was with Extension Service for 12 years in West Virginia.
Were you the nutrition specialist during that period of time?
That's right. We had a very small staff, just three women specialists. And then following that, I did go to the University of Chicago two terms. I went in 46, 47, and then...
Why did you go to the University of Chicago?
Well, it was just one of those happenstances. The dean of home economics came across the hall one day and said, here's an announcement of a scholarship at the University of Chicago. You know, nobody'd be interested. And I said, well, maybe I would. And that's just one of those being at the right place at the right time.
I think it's interesting that scholarships and assistantships, as well as mentors, have great influence on where people go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to Chicago.
I did. I had the reputation of, I knew, you know, about the faculty there and how to find
in nutrition.
In nutrition. Yeah. And so I went, and at the time I just thought of really just enriching my background. Didn't think about a doctoral program, but thinking this one, which was, might as well plan for that, even though you might not complete it. So I did, and then I went back in 52. My mother was ill at the time, in 47, so I went back in 52 and finished.
You did your doctorate then at the University of Chicago in nutrition.
In nutrition. Mm-hmm.
And you finished there in 52?
52. Well, I had my degree in 55.
And then where did you go?
Down at the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Agriculture Research Service to work on the food plan and family economics. And that was the result of a friendship with the Faith Park, who was then head of the department there in the USDA.
And you were there when you were invited to come here?
Yes.
What was your first contact here? Were you did you apply for the job, or were you did you know somebody here?
Well, it was Virginia Wilson.
Oh yes.
Put my learned Dr. Hines at the same
time. And by this time he had become the director.
Well, he was associate director.
And he knew of your work, I think, when your name came up.
Yes.
But actually, your name was suggested, so far as you know, by Virginia Wilson, who was on the staff here, rather than by Dr. Hines.
Yes.
And you came here in what year?
1963.
And of course, when you came here, you came into the position which had been held basically by two people, but on a short term, it had been held on an acting basis by Nell Kinnear.
Mm-hmm.
And so you became the third or fourth, as the case may be, leader in home economics work in the extension service. Well, tell us something about what your first impressions were when you got here and had a chance to look at the program, and what some of your hopes and ambitions were after you had taken a look at it.
Of course, as you know, I came at the time after the, what they call the Green Report.
Yes.
And I really, at the beginning, I didn't try to study that with the idea of you know, working through that and complying with all the suggestions they make. But I found that they had an excellent specialist there. They had dedicated district agents, and there seemed to be such a good esprit de corps among the staff. And one of my real goals was to make this, you know, team really work, and to work with Dr. Hyde and with George Smith and the other leaders in agriculture and 4-H and CRD to make it a total a program, not have any conflict that seemed to have been in the past between the man and women's program.
Well, you came with a much higher degree of technical training and background than any of your predecessors, having received your PhD degree in a technical field, material nutrition, and having been engaged actually in that field for some time. You must have seen ways to incorporate the newer technology into the program that has already attained some status as far as working with people was concerned.
I think that helped me to see the necessity of specialists being well trained and kept up to date, and to look at the employment of new specialists, perhaps at a higher technical level than perhaps have been important in the past.
Would it be a fair observation, an accurate observation, to say that in the last 15 or so years, training of staff has been a very important part of the program, both in the Home Economics Extension and the Extension Service generally?
That's right. And I think we've given our staff more opportunity to complete the doctoral programs as well as, and we employ no specialists without master's degrees already in hand, so that, that we have a stronger base, I think.
You're not moving people in anymore, just on the basis of experience.
That's right. And I think there's some values in having perhaps more account experience than some of the specialists do have, but very often you don't find that combination of the degree program and the extension county experience.
You can get the experience if you have the basis. Do you have any feeling of becoming more technical and less personal, or more technical and less human, or anything of this sort?
I think that can happen. There's not the feeling, perhaps, or understanding of the county workers' pressures if you haven't had that experience, or don't feel that you can identify it. I think that very often does happen.
You made reference to the Green Book, and it became soon after it had made its appearance here. I remember that very well because I was sort of in the middle of it, and I remember what a experience we had in seeing I think every home demonstration club in the state mobilized against one or two things that were brought out in the Green Book, which were based in part on misunderstanding and in part on find that if you could cast aside that area of conflict that was generated by the book, that that there was what was your reaction as to the substance of the report open beyond that point?
Well, I think that they probably did have some basis for, you know, many of the allegations that were made. I do think that at least it's been my observation that there isn't as close a program identification for home economics as there was in the earlier years. That there isn't anyone responsible for nurturing a young agent and seeing that they meet the right people and get the kind of foundation that's very often, I think, necessary to do an effective county program. And I believe that that came as a result of the recommendation to make each county, you know, the county chairman as being the all-over administrator of the county program, and not delegating at least one home economist as the coordinator for that.
I was very much interested in some statements that Mrs. Brown made this morning, which seemed to have the, which seemed to say that she felt that some of the blacks had lost by having one integrated program.
Well, I'm sure that, that may have happened because they had their own clientele and their own... And yet, in some counties, they've also gained, because they've gained respect not only of the black community, but also of the white
community. And, well, she brought that out, but it was interesting to me that when you suggest what might be called equal status,
yes,
in a sense, that you lose the position of a proponent.
Well, and I think many's position in itself is a good indicator of that, because she'd been ahead of the program. She was on a equal, really, with the director here as far as the administration of her program is concerned. So she, and she's had to take an entirely different role as she saw the integration. So I can see her that this is true.
Well, as one who was involved in the program and involved in that study, looking at the adjustments that have been made in extension, not necessarily the adjustments suggested there, but the adjustments that relate to the changing times, I think that those of you who have been directing the program in recent years have made a very great adjustment. The demands are so different than they were when we had much less specialization and much less technology. What have been some of the major problems, or perhaps major highlights of your experience in years? How many years now have you been here?
Oh, it's 17 now.
Oh no,
it's
17 years.
I've
been away.
There's more quicker among the man.
That's right. I've been away for almost 20 years now. The 20 years first July.
Well, I think we're strengthening the staff. That was the goal which had. And which I think we've been able to come. I tried to work as democratically as possible in the building of the program, both from the, you know, the county as well as the state level, and the participation of the specialists in deciding the points of emphasis for any 1 year or for a 5-year period in our long-range programs. I think that those are goals that I tried, and whether these were also goals of the other directors, I don't have that experience.
What is your feeling with regard to the advantages or disadvantages of not having the School of Home Economics here?
I think that's a great detriment to our program.
The women the women in home economics don't have quite the same access to the academic area as you would have if they were more appropriate.
That's right. And I think it's also makes a different program for the school, too. Home economics, not to have the interchange with the extension people.
Do the home economics
out unless they're doing some research project. And that they really don't have the opportunity nor the time.
Because you draw your staff from many different home economics departments.
That's right.
You don't rely totally on the group for a bank.
That's right. But we still think in terms of them as, you know, our land grant college, because they do have their own adopted program in the state.
Yes.
And they do have hatch funds for their research. But a different thing is being able to call up and go across the street, across campus, and talk, and to have committee meetings and be participating as closely as people would be able to on a common campus.
I've felt personally this is quite stressed to put this in, but I believe it's would have been great to have the home economics here, but that's a historical
I think so, too, though there's such a rich science base here.
The science base and the technical school and all the other reasons, plus the energy service. Has this new program and extension assigning some of the funds directly to A&T had any significant impact on the women's program?
So far, we just haven't quite worked, you know, out the way it's going to be in the future. We, when we started, there was much closer relationship, but when they divided the monies and had A&T administering, we see more cleavage now, and their specialists are not coordinating their programs with our specialists, and there is some overlapping introduction of programs and materials in particular, and their clientele is supposed to be the low income or the disadvantaged, but for instance, in the field of family relationships, the principles are just the same, you know, for any child adopted in that program, so it really is education.
So rather than have an integration, it's really setting up a separation.
It is.
That's one of the ironies of some of the programs designed to bring about oneness, and it brings about the wall against. Are the women, the black home economists who are on the extension staffs of the various counties, they may be either black or white. You don't have a black home economist and a white home economist anymore, do you?
Well, we don't identify them that way, but there are.
Yes, that's what I mean.
But each staff has assigned responsibilities, so it may go, and now I was looking at some of the programs, some of the counties, so, and I think there's a heavy responsibility for certain, like home management, family relations, seem to go to the black agents more often than do the white agents. And I think we need to investigate why that is, whether there is more influence in the white agent getting the, what they may call, quote-unquote, preferred areas of responsibility, like clothing or food and nutrition. So I think we need to make a study of their responsibility.
Where do you get most of your black women?
Well, they're coming from A&T and Tuskegee. We get some from there. We get some from the school in Virginia, Hampton. And
you're not getting too many of them from Greensboro or from Eastern Carolina?
Well, no. See, we get, there are a few that are going to schools like UNCG and East Carolina, but not very many.
Not many.
Most of them are still going to the dominant black schools. Is something central.
Is it possible that that this tendency toward certain fields to be assigned to the black people could be due to the fact that those institutions haven't developed certain of the technologies that others have?
I think that may be true, and then I think that there may be a preference thing, for the more sociologically oriented areas. And they do a fine job. I think Natalie Wimberly in this county is as good an agent in family resource development as we find in the state. So it's not that they don't do just as well, but they do seem
who would you identify as some of the people who stand out as exceptionally effective leaders, either within the School of Agriculture or within the university, or even the women or the people out in the field? I just wondered if there were a few tall poles that have come to your attention especially, or a few movements, occurrences that have taken place within the university that seem to be significant. I don't, if you, you know, don't let me press that one.
Well, I don't, you know, when you work with people every day, you get to...
For example, I recall in my, when I think of home, the home demonstration work, I automatically think of Mrs. Graham up in Lexington.
I still think of her as a leader, Ms. English. I think now we have people like Ms. Elmer Lane, who has done an excellent job as state president, that's on the national program, and Ms. Paul Fletcher Kinston, who's now county commissioner.
She was the wife of a fellow who used to be a marketing specialist.
Yeah.
In
fact, she worked in the Department of Agriculture one time. And she certainly was a leader among the women. But I think the leadership among the extension homemakers is really, it's been great in the last several years.
And pretty widely dispersed.
That's right. And each district has the president in turn. And I think that these women who have emerged as the presidents have really been strong women, and they have not only served their term, but they have gone on to other leadership roles in their communities, in their counties, and on a national basis.
I get the impression, just from talking with my former colleagues here, that you, perhaps more than any other state leader, have been... become an integral part of the administration of the entire School of Agriculture, and are looked upon as not just as the state home economics leader, but as a member of the administrative team for the entire school. Do you feel pretty much like you're a home economist, or that you feel as if you're an administrator in the school?
Well,
do you feel comfortable in the
state? I feel comfortable in the school. I've never had any... feelings of inferiority, as far as that's concerned, with the faculty or the department is, but I think that they treat you with respect to your own background and your own culture.
Well, I'm sorry that I didn't have the opportunity of working with you. I don't want to just artificially extend this, because, as we said before we began, the interview with you is somewhat different from the others, because you have been here since I was here, whereas most of the others were here either before I came or here.
When you were on the Kellogg
board. Kellogg board. Where did we cross paths?
That was after I came
here. Oh, after you came here.
And I was sitting in those meetings.
Yeah. Well, the Kellogg program in extension, the grant that Kellogg made to the Extension Service here was a significant grant. I'm not talking now about the institute. It was for, what was it, for evaluation of the program on some way or other.
It is very generous. The one thing I wanted to say about the Extension Homemakers, though, the growth that has come in the last 10 or more years in their independence, their ability to develop their own programs and carry them out in a very very well administered manner, and the financial base on which they operate, I think, is admirable.
Well, this reminds me of a point that I tried to make in a speech one time to the Policy Institute, and I tried to bring up the point that mobilizing knowledge might be just as important as the generation of knowledge through research, or the disseminating it through the classroom or the extension service. That mobilizing the knowledge that's out there in this rather sophisticated era we live in might be just as important. I never could get that to take And is there anything else that comes to your mind just offhand as before we wind
well,
up?
Well, you know, I hope that the time I've been here that I've been able to carry on some of the programs that Mrs. McKimmon and Ms. Current initiated, because I think that one of the things that we're often having to do is to drop things instead of trying to enrich and develop them. And that I have tried not to do.
Well, I think I should not hesitate to say that based on the limited interviews I've had with some of the people who've been involved with all three of you or all of you, that I don't detect any lack of feeling of continuity. Mm-hmm. By the same token, I think it's clear that that you've added a different tone that comes about in this era, and because of the increased emphasis on training, which mm-hmm. you certainly have much more technical training, academic training.
You've gotten too far away from the human.
I don't believe anybody feels that way. At least I haven't detected that in any sense. As I indicated to you, I just, and this won't be the final thing, we'll cut it out, but I just enjoyed the visit for these two.
Well, I always enjoy it. I read Mr. McKimmon's book and I get so inspired by some of those stories.
But take Eleanor Mason mm-hmm. and the way she has feels that that the philosophy of all of you with whom she worked is so much a part of her life. She just exudes it.
Yeah,
she's
a great person.
Of course, she thinks her first mentor was Miss McKimmon, of course, for many years. And she sees each of you in a slightly different way, but all of you as people who are carrying forward anything that has become so much a part of her life and so much a good mentor.
Well, I think, too, that Elmer and Liv Ward and those secretaries were unique because they were overallers. And they, you know, they came here and they were part of the development of the program.
And they weren't just secretaries.
No, they weren't just
They were
secretaries.
Colleagues.
They were. And you don't get that same relationship.